Opinion.
Welcome to Opinion, featuring Avigdor Eskin. He's a publicist and a public figure. The former U.S. Secretaries of State, Henry Kissinger and George Shultz, published an open letter in the Wall Street Journal in which they strongly side with the opponents of the current deal with Iran. In your opinion, how will it influence the power balance in Washington?
Well, good afternoon and have a good day. We see that the most moderate and actually careful American politicians sided with those who are opponents of the deal, which is not necessarily usual for such a situation. Henry Kissinger is one of the most careful and thoughtful American politicians, and George Shultz also, this goes without saying. They actually warned the American administration not to go too far in the anti-Russian direction many times, but now they warn that the appeasement with Iran can have terrible, terrible consequences for the United States, for Europe, for Israel. Well, once you allow them to advance, it's very difficult to stop them. This is their basic thought. You still can prevent it now. You can talk to the people, you can give them some benefits, you can trade, you can bargain, you can even threaten, you can convince, you can make some concessions. There are still ways of communication, but the moment they will start getting more and more closer now to the goal, it will be a nightmare for the whole region. Well, as you understand, other Arab countries will try to get also nuclear weapons.
Isn't that one of the bigger issues here all of a sudden? If we put the internal Iranian issue aside, and in the domestic or the regional politics, other Arab states will also want to have nuclear weapons or pursue this line of research, which means that we could possibly be on the cusp of a new nuclear arms race inside of the Middle East.
That's exactly the point. And while you have such risk, you can end up having some real terrorists, people from organizations like Hezbollah or ISIS, or you name them, and you will not name them because they change their names, you know. Then will be another kind of ultra-Islamic jihad, and you will see them running around the world with nuclear weapons. I mean, it's not something that we can really should wish to each other, no?
Opinion.
Moving along to my next question here. After the slaughter that was committed in the Palestinian refugee camp Yarmouk by the ISIS, the place was abolished. Now, in your opinion, what did it look like before? And how could the destruction of this camp influence the entire Palestinian issue?
Here we are talking about the biggest Palestinian refugee camp which exists there near Damascus since, well, I believe 1956, 1957 already. First refugees came there. These are the refugees of 1948 war with Israel, who were promised by Jerusalem Mufti to conquer Jerusalem, but, you know, instead they became all refugees. The overall number is around 500,000 people. Nobody knows exactly what it is, 400,000 of them, or maybe 550,000. But these two people who fled in 1948 and established their homes in different places, especially in Lebanon, in Jordan, in Gaza Strip, and in Syria. And the Syrian experience was one of the most successful. They actually became just a part of the city. It was a huge neighborhood. Some of my Arab colleagues in Israel, they visited the Damascus a few times. They reported a few years ago about 300,000 people living there in good conditions, actually, and they were not discriminated by the Syrian government. They were accepted by the population. And it's important, unlike in other places. The Syrian government, government of Assad, treated them quite well. And then the war began. So the war dragged them on one side, on the other side, because they were, you know, natural clients of Syria, and of Iran against Israel at certain time, but they were Sunnis. So they were slaughtered by Hezbollah. And they sided then with the enemies of Assad. And then Al-Qaeda and was unhappy with them for some other reasons. And then ISIS, which is Islamic, so-called Islamic State, Islamic law, government today, entered Yarmouk. They slaughtered them. They beheaded some Hamas sheikhs. And the place is almost empty, you know, after all this war. It's a big tragedy. I mean, and nobody talks about it, yeah. Opinion.
I'd like to ask you a slightly different question. It seems as if with all of the different Arab states, one of the reasons that they say that there's a problems in the Middle East is always because of Israel. And yet what we can see with ISIS is that ISIS is really out there. They're not only killing almost every other group that's inside of, you know, every other ethnic group or every other religious group that's in the Middle East as well. There are headlines in this last week that show how they're starting to turn amongst themselves and actually kill their own fighters. I mean, it seems as if, and here we have ISIS, and they slaughtered a number of Palestinians. I mean, isn't the Palestinian issue somewhat of a red herring in the Middle East?
Well, to be very honest, the world put a blind eye on Yarmouk now because there's no Israeli context there. And actually, Palestinian context is coming to its zero because the refugees from 48, there are not too many in the world anymore. And the world likes to see Israel involved and in conflict with the Arab population. But since the current events had nothing to do with Israel, you don't see headlines. It's a very cynical approach, but unfortunately, it reflects what really is going on here. And yes, we can say generally that with the fall of Yarmouk, there will be less and less talks about the Palestinian state and Palestinian issue will probably become less significant for the very simple reason, because Yarmouk was the leading force there. Opinion.
Now let's turn our attention halfway around the world to America. And it has been said that there's rising anti-Semitism inside the USA itself. If that's true, what are the reasons behind this? And in your opinion, is this causing more Jews that were living in America to actually pick up and move to Israel?
Well, if we look into the statistics of the Jewish Agency and Israeli Absorption Ministry, we see that, yes, there are more Jews coming from America and Canada this year than in previous years. But what really causes the tension, it's not only pure anti-Semitism, but the situation in America, we have to put it clear. I mean, when Obama came to power, he brought certain expectations to black population. More and more and more with the time, they're expecting more and more. When you have such a high level of expectations, and then the black people see on television every second day that they're getting shot by American policemen, just as one of the examples, that the situation of interracial relations in America is worse today than it was when Obama came into power, and this was what we know from all the researches which have been made since then. Now, Jews are a very easy prey for any type of racist, whether black or white. And with such a rise of general tension, you have Jewish community being very vulnerable. I mean, it's all the truth about this world, how it is. Yeah. Opinion.
Well, I'd like to go to France now, and it seems as if Jean-Marie Le Pen has made some especially harsh and provocative statements. I'd like to ask you if we could speculate that his words reflect on the current trend of neo-Nazism in Ukraine and possibly even the Baltic states.
Well, it was really unprovoked, provocative sentences that he uttered. You know, I really don't understand this man sometimes, because, you know, Jean-Marie Le Pen, is educated enough to know that really the worst crimes of the Holocaust, first was the elimination of Jews, which he calls just a fragment of Second World War. 6 million people died in the most terrible way. And then the second crime in terms of horror was the slaughter of Russian war prisoners. Around 4 million people were slaughtered by the Nazis. And then you have other Nazi crimes, well, you name them. And to make such a statement, it's a matter of ignorance. It's a kind of desire to be nasty and to insult the Jewish people with no reason, which I can really explain for myself, because instead of becoming an ally with the Jewish community of France, he makes sure that Israel and the Jewish community of France will be against National Front, as it is. And I have to say that since the Front National became popular in France in the late 70s, the Israeli government and the Jewish community by most boycotted them. And the official policy of Israel is that we don't shake their hands. We don't talk to them. And many people, I was among them, by the way, sometimes criticized this Israeli harsh policies towards the National Front. But when we hear Jean-Marie Le Pen talking this way, we think maybe the Israeli government was right. And he embarrassed, of course, his daughter, who is not any ultra-nationalist, but rather quite rational person. But the most important point is probably what you brought to my attention, and I'm really very grateful to you for bringing this point. I feel that the necessity for Jean-Marie Le Pen to make a statement like Pétain, a collaborator, was a great man, he was not a traitor, to praise those who collaborated with the Nazis, this comes from Ukraine, yes. This comes also from the Baltic states. When people like Le Pen see that this is a new trend in Europe, why not to join it? Why not to try it, at least partially? And we warned, from not just only this problem, but many of my colleagues and myself warned, if we will not stop it in Ukraine and in the Baltic states, it will go to Europe. And you can see that the last statements of Jean-Marie Le Pen, they're inflicted with this influence. And I know for a fact, by the way, that some of his closest friends of Jean-Marie Le Pen were in Kiev to support the Maidan. And this will probably be published soon.
I think it's very troubling. Well, we can see the rise of extremism across Europe in many different ways. On that note, I'd like to thank you for joining us. Speaking to us live was Avigdor Eskin. He's a publicist and a public figure.
Thank you very much.
This is Opinion, brought to you by Radio Sputnik.
Opinion.